Welcome to the Fantasy Football Elite Podcast. Whether you're a seasonal or daily fantasy football player, Guru Elite has the experience, knowledge, and power to make you a champion. Here's your host, Jeff Mann.
And welcome, everybody, to another episode of Fantasy Football Elite. This is season number 2, episode 11 already, man. We're piling them up. Hopefully, you guys like our new podcast page over at GuruElite.com, the Fantasy Football Elite Podcast. You could find it underneath the NFL menu item right there. It's a homepage with descriptions of previous episodes, what exactly we're doing, the intent, all that good stuff. I'm your host, Jeff Manns. You could find me on Twitter at Jeff_Manns, the Jeff Manns, all one word, on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, all these other social media outlets. Love talking with you guys. Love talking football with you guys as well. My rankings are updated over at GuruElite.com as well. We got some Dynasty rookie rankings there. Everything's free for the time being. We are building our 2018 Fantasy Football Draft Guide. As we speak, we have big plans for you this fantasy football season. So appreciate you guys hanging out over there at GuruElite.com and having the discussions. A bunch of you, man, a lot of good feedback from the last podcast when we talked about quarterback changes this offseason. We're going to keep that momentum going here today, folks. We're going to talk about the offseason moves amongst the running backs now today. We're going to be able to get into this sort of long form because not as many moves. It's funny that they're just, yes, there's a lot of moves with running backs, but most of them don't matter because they're really deep down the depth chart and things like that. But we'll talk about all of those here today and a lot of great feedback from you and talking points and ideas for future episodes and topics you guys want me discussing. So that's all exciting. Let's get to some news around the National Football League. And today we got a word, Nate Solder, the left tackle for the New York Giants, banged up. He got in a scuffle and dove on top of one of his new teammates. Not a good way to endear yourself, bro. I don't know what that was all about. It was reported a lower leg injury. Initial reports said he had to be carted off the field. That wasn't true. He was helped off the field. And obviously Nate Solder, if you guys don't know who that is, he's a left tackle. He was the guy that protected Tom Brady's blind side for the previous few years. And he's a big reason why I love Saquon Barkley and really like this Giants offense a lot more in 2018 than I did in 2017. So, but the good news is that as the day has grown on here, says it's not a big deal for Solder. They don't expect any long-term injury, nothing significant. So he should be good for training camp, which it's huge, huge, huge news. Because if he goes down, folks, this is what I understand. We're all in love with Saquon Barkley. I understand we get this way. We love guys in the preseason, and we have our reasoning for it and everything else. The problem is you have to be quick to jump off the ship or jump on the ship depending on the circumstances. And if a running back, I don't care who the running back is, but especially when it's a rookie, especially when it's a young guy, an unproven guy, and an offense that struggled last year, they start losing offensive linemen. That's a problem. It's a major problem. And if you want to be that asshole that says, oh, it's going to be fine, he's still a really good running back, you're going to be the guy left out. You're going to still be targeting him in the first round while the rest of us jump off ship, and you're going to be the one going down in that Titanic. So just please pay attention. The reasons we love Saquon Barkley is, yes, he's talented. Yes, yes, yes. It's a good offense with Mike Shula there, a very run-heavy offense. But the reason for me that I love him even more is Solder on the left side, Will Hernandez, the second-round pick, on the left side as well. I'm a big fan of the offensive line, especially running left in New York. That's why I like Saquon Barkley. So pay attention to things like that. Other running back news today, we got a lot of running back stuff to get to here. The New Orleans Saints finally signed a veteran running back. It's Terrence West. We remember him, Towson graduate and former Baltimore Raven and Cleveland Brown. Terrence West is an interesting sign here by New Orleans. Obviously, they needed somebody with Mark Ingram being out for the first four games. And the fact that they made this step, they took the chance on Terrence West, not a big chance, mind you. It's just a situation where a veteran player is going to get an opportunity to produce in a very good offense and a very good running offense as well. It's an absolute blessing for Terrence West. That is for sure. So pretty exciting. Terrence West, only 27, 5'11", 220. He's just prototype size. He's a one-cut runner, though. Really, really good at zone systems, Terrence West. And they keep moving him in and out of zone offenses. He signs different places. But, you know, I still like it. I think the offensive line is good enough. He catches the football very well out of the backfield also. So I think this is a good signing. And it's one of those things where we got to think, at this point, there's nobody else here. If there was an injury to Alvin Kamara, Terrence West is a number one running back, RB1 from weeks 1 through 4 when Mark Ingram's also gone. That's the fine line. That offense is going to be built around the running game. They're going to throw to the running backs a lot, and that's the commitment they've made to Drew Brees. So, you know, they obviously didn't think much of Jonathan Williams because you think, all right, he's a guy who had success out there in Buffalo. But, you know, they've seen him through OTAs and now a mini camp, and obviously the Saints just aren't as high on him, or Daniel Lascow, who was a seventh-round pick a few years ago. So Terrence West gets this opportunity there. And I anticipate him making the 53-man roster out of summer. I really do. I think it's going to be, obviously, Kamara and Ingram. Ingram being suspended for the first 4 games. And then we start getting into Terrence West and possibly John Williams or Lascow or Trey Edmonds, one of these other guys taking that final job with West being the next man up, so to speak, and could share the backfield over the first 4 games. So definitely a name to know, definitely a notation, something that we have to know where we, since we're talking running back, new faces and new places today, that's one that has to be added to our list. Speaking of running back news, we got another tidbit of running back information this week. Arizona Cardinals had their mini camps out here in the desert, and David Johnson was not participating. He did not show up for those. He needs a new contract. He's in search of a new contract, and it's going to be a very interesting situation with what happens with David Johnson. I've talked about it, you know, every episode of this podcast, I think, thus far, saying that I'm just not into David Johnson the way I was in 2016 and 17. I loved the running back in the Bruce Arians offense. I love the offense. I mean, really, that's what I loved about David Johnson's, the system he was in. I love him as a player, but there, you know, I went back just to make sure I had all my information correct. I like to go back through my NFL draft news and notes and items and my own personal scouting reports. One of the reasons that I like building my own scouting reports, and I do all my own work. I don't let somebody else, I don't copy other people's work. I don't do that. And the reason is for this situation that we see before us in David Johnson, where I'm looking at it like, all right, what did I think? Right, now that he's not in the Bruce Arians offense, the quarterback change is different. The offensive line is bad in Arizona. So now what? What did I think of David Johnson? Because remember, he's not like – Saquon Barkley's coming out of Penn State, right? And Todd Gurley and Nick Chubb's coming out of Georgia. And so, you know, Sonny Michel too. David Johnson came out of Northern Iowa. And that's not really, you know, it was a third-round pick out of Northern Iowa. All right, what was that? And the one thing about David Johnson, and I've had a chance of interviewing him several times as well, hung out with him a little bit at the Super Bowl 2 years ago. And I'll say that he's a slender guy. He's not built overly, he's not overly muscular, you know, strong, of course, but he's not overly thick and things like that. And I remember saying it at the time that I thought, you know, maybe a little more injury prone. If he gets, you know, especially if he was going to be used in the pass game, in the run game, you're going to give him 300 plus touches a season. He's not built like he can endure that. And now we'll see how it goes. That wasn't the injury last year. It was a freaky injury with a broken wrist or dislocated wrist. So I don't blame him at all. He is 26 years of age. You know, this will be his fourth season in the NFL. He came in at 23. So he is going to, you know, he's a little bit older and all that. So there's a number of factors with David Johnson And again, I think he's a great player. I really do. I think he's a real high-end running back. And right now, I still have David Johnson as a top 15 pick for sure, probably top 12 overall. And I like him in the running back, but there are other guys I like significantly ahead of him. And I think there's enough concern between his build, his pedigree, his offensive line, new quarterback, and a brand new offensive system. That's a lot. Five different factors right there I was pointing out to you guys. Now we got a contract issue on top of it all. Guys, at this point, if you're not going and you're not willing to at least admit to yourself that, all right, maybe I'm too high on David Johnson, or maybe he's a second round pick, not a first round pick, right? Nobody thinks he's terrible. That's not what we're saying. But if you're not at least admitting that, then you might as well just draft him first overall and just forget about it, because you're ignoring, if you're, you might as well actually just sign over your check. Just write a check for your league entry fee and mail it to Jeff Manns. Just give me the money, or even give it to charity. In fact, not me. Give it to St. Jude or somebody else, because you're going to lose. If you're not going to ignore, just like the Nate Solder thing with Saquon Barkley, if you're going to be one of those idiots that just blindly says, I like this guy just because, and then all the facts come out and you still stand there and say, still like him, even though all these factors are telling you not to, well, then you're a loser. You're not going to win in fantasy football. I'm sorry. Maybe your home league is crap. Maybe you could do something there. But you're never going to win on the highest level. You're never going to do it. Sorry, but we have all of these guys, especially as we're sitting here in early June. This is all fluid. It's all going to move and fluctuate depending on different factors, specifically, you know, scheme, health, injuries around him, all these kinds of things, matchups, all these things are important. Nothing is blind in fantasy football. Nothing is blind as people that just fall in love with a certain player and won't relinquish no matter what. So that's where I stand with David Johnson. David Johnson's scheduled to make $1.8 million this year. Last year, granted, he didn't play hardly at all. He played one game last year. He made his base salary is $615,000. That's really, really low for a star running back, especially a guy who 26 and a half years old. He's getting, you know, it's one of those things where his shelf life, he only has 3-4 more years left, and he's made 435, 525, and 615, you know, plus bonuses over the course of that time. But he barely grossed over $1 million last year, you know, and didn't hit any of his bonuses. So, you know, other than being on the roster and workout bonuses, that's all he got. So I understand why he would be holding out. To me, this shouldn't be a lengthy holdout. I can't imagine it, because for one, there are other factors into it, which, you know, with a new system and new offense and a front office and a coaching staff that didn't draft you, you don't have much leverage. You know, coaching staffs like their guys. They build around their own guys. Josh Rosen, that's this coaching staff. That's Steve Wilkes' guy. Now they're attached to them. They're not attached to David Johnson the same way. They would like to be, but only if they can do it at the right price. So it'll be interesting. I think he'll get a raise, but I have a feeling this will be another 1 year. They'll give him like whatever bump they can, put him up to like $3-4 million, at least give him something there, and then renegotiate next offseason as well. So it will be interesting. There could be a long-term thing, because he is scheduled to be an unrestricted free agent after this year. So that's, yeah, it would make a lot more sense for the organization to give him a bigger 3-4 year contract at this stage of the game and lock him up than to, especially when he doesn't have as much leverage and you won't have to pay him that top end dollar. Because if he goes off and does do well this year, you're screwed if you're the Arizona Cardinals. Anyway, so that's the big news around the NFL leading into today. Want to talk about offseason movement amongst running backs across the National Football League. We'll be doing wide receivers and tight ends in the days and weeks ahead as well. But if we're talking running backs, let's start out with some of the bigger moves from this past offseason. And there's not one big, huge move. I would say one of the biggest moves is in Cleveland, where they did a bunch of different things. Cleveland signed Carlos Hyde. Okay. They already had Duke Johnson. Isaiah Crowell was a free agent. He signed elsewhere. We'll get to him later on. Carlos Hyde comes over from San Francisco, which stuns me. I'm really surprised. And for those who took my information stuff last year, I was very high on Carlos Hyde. And I feel vindicated for that. Even though the overall numbers weren't great and Kyle Shanahan never embraced him, never liked him, Carlos Hyde on a per-snap basis, per-touch basis, was very, very productive. It's bewildering why Kyle Shanahan didn't like Carlos Hyde more. Maybe there's something else there. I don't know. Maybe it just wasn't his guy. I don't know. But letting him go was very surprising from the 49ers. Going to Cleveland, not surprising, although then they not only do they sign Hyde, then they go draft Nick Chubb in the second round, who I'm very high on, out of the University of Georgia. I've talked about Chubb a bunch in previous podcasts. And then they gave Duke Johnson a brand-new three-year deal, who's the third down back. So in my mind, you know, once the Duke Johnson news contract, you're going to have a backfield of either Hyde or Chubb with Duke Johnson as the third down guy, which limits both Hyde and Chubb in pass-catching ability. Both of them could catch the football and do it very, very well, but you're not going to see them on third downs too often. So unless there's an injury, of course, to Duke Johnson. So right now we have an early down guy of Carlos Hyde, a third down guy of Duke Johnson, with Nick Chubb as the handcuff to Carlos Hyde. That's how it sets up. I think it's one of, if not the best, grouping of running backs in the National Football League. I love it. It's a ton of talent there in Cleveland. Just don't know how it's all going to work out. There's a bunch of factors there with how much split do they have? You know, what's the exact? I think that's the way it goes, is the early down, third down guy. So if you're not getting a lot of catches, is Carlos Hyde RB? He can't be RB1. He's out of that discussion. Maybe, you know, where in the RB2 spectrum does he fit? Kind of far down, doesn't it? I mean, especially if Nick Chubb's on the field at all. And then we have the factor of, you know, we all expect Cleveland to be better. Everybody, by the way, if you think you're going to be sneaky and say, oh, I think the Cleveland Browns are going to be good, you're not sneaky. Every single human being thinks so. Shut up. Shut up. It's not 2017 anymore. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Stop. You're just – It's bewildering. Everybody thinks they're cute and sneaky. Oh, I think the Cleveland Browns are going to be good. Yes, Cleveland's going to be good. They're a hell of a football team. New offensive coordinator. They have the defensive line's healthy. Offensive line's healthy. They get wide receivers and quarterbacks and running backs this offseason. They draft another member of the secondary, you know, and Denzel Ward. For crying out loud, of course they're going to be good. They should be good. They should be much improved. They're going to win at least – 6 games minimum this year, and that's if all hell breaks loose and they get injured. So I anticipate some good numbers there, but if the defense isn't as good and they have to pass more and lean on that, well, you know, then that's going to lead to less Carlos Hyde and or Nick Chubb. And if that it's less of them and more Duke Johnson, then Carlos Hyde and or Nick Chubb, whoever's the early down back, will wind up being much more of an RB3 or 4 than he is an RB2. Right now, I'm a buyer, though. I'm a buyer on the Browns' backfield. I love it in best ball. I'll lock in both Hyde and Chubb and roll with that. It'll be my RB2 in best ball. I've said it pretty much it's all offseason, and I'm standing behind that today. Other news and movement from around the NFL from the running back perspective, the Tennessee Titans did some interesting things this offseason, and they went out and they cut DeMarco Murray, their leading running back, and that led us all to rejoice. Okay, finally, Derrick Henry time in Tennessee. Here we go. Everything's going to be great. No, not so much. Don't forget, new head coach Mike Vrabel there. Matt LeFleur is the new offensive coordinator there as well. So, you know, we talk about that. And so we think, okay, it's going to be Derrick Henry. Well, then they go out and give big money to Deion Lewis, formerly of the New England Patriots. Oh, that's devastating. Because now Derrick Henry's not going to be catching the football, and giving that much money and bringing in Deion Lewis, this is going to be somebody they use. And their offense. And Deion Lewis has actually been a he's built like a third down runner only, but he's been a productive early down back for the New England Patriots. So it's going to come down to usage. I still anticipate Derrick Henry getting the first two downs and Deion Lewis sort of being the swing back in obvious pass situations and on third downs. But, man, it really overly complicates Tennessee. And one of the things I've said for the last couple of years, even with both Murray and Henry, is that the way the former regime used their running backs is they had a clear-cut RB1 and a clear-cut backup. And Murray was the starter and Henry was the backup. And Henry did real good in reserves. But if you look back at Derrick Henry's big games last year, two of them were when Murray went out in the middle of the game. Nobody started Henry those games. So that was a major problem. We lost a lot of points, which is why we would like to recoup some of those this year. But this Deion Lewis thing screws it all up. It really does. I still have Derrick Henry as an RB2. I still have him as an RB2. I'm not the biggest believer in Deion Lewis. But the problem is as much as I told you guys, you know, and I yell at myself the same way I yell at everybody, is that I tell myself, don't be stupid. And one of the things that I would do had I not learned some valuable lessons in playing this game since 1989, which I have, is that when a team makes a sizable investment in contract years and cash money, like the Titans did for Deion Lewis, that means he's going to play. They don't do this and then not play the guy. So I still have Derrick Henry as an RB2 because I think he's just more skilled, more powerful. It's more of what the Titans and Matt LaFleur wants to do. I think the offensive line is geared towards more of a smash-mouth type runner as opposed to opening up spaces and one-cut lanes for Deion Lewis. But Deion Lewis's presence is what gives me pause on that. And I'm a buyer on Derrick Henry at a value. I'm not going to be paying up for the man this year, though, as well. Other news from around the running back scene this offseason. I mentioned how Carlos Hyde leaves Cleveland or San Francisco for Cleveland. Who's in San Francisco now? It's a guy named Jerick McKinnon. Jerick McKinnon is a fascinating young man. I sound so old. Happy man's here. McKinnon is crazy, crazy athletic. Like his spark score, I don't know if you guys are into spark scores and that. It's one of the highest in the entire National Football League. With his size, his athleticism, his explosiveness, his strength and speed, everything. He is electric as an athlete. The thing with McKinnon is I expected big things from him when Adrian Peterson originally went down from in Minnesota 2 years ago and McKinnon was there and all that. But offensive line issues and then his own health concerns kept popping up. McKinnon's just never been productive. Up until last year. And remember, last year, he was so not thought about for Mike Zimmer and the Minnesota Vikings. They went out and signed Latavius Murray to a big money deal and went out and drafted Dalvin Cook. McKinnon was completely and utterly buried. They weren't thinking about him whatsoever. So, you know, that was – and then, of course, you get Dalvin Cook going down, tearing his ACL – and then Murray and McKinnon sort of split backfield duties, and McKinnon outpaced Murray significantly, which led to his ascension up the running back ranks and eventually his interest by the San Francisco 49ers and Kyle Shanahan to be their RB1. The thing with San Francisco, there's nobody else here. There's nobody on the 49ers whatsoever other than Jerick McKinnon. So, you know, we're conflicted. We love his athleticism, pass catch ability is fantastic, crazy high-end speed, all of that stuff, but just hasn't been productive at the NFL level, just hasn't done it. Couldn't, even when he was given the starting job, couldn't be productive. Then, don't forget this tidbit, and not a lot of people are talking about this. Jerick McKinnon had back surgery 2 years ago, folks. He had it before the 2017 season in 2016. Back surgery is significant. And for a running back, I was trying to think of this. before last season, and one of the reasons I completely plunged Jerick McKinnon off my board and off my interest level on top of the fact that they had other running backs was I don't think I've ever seen a running back at the NFL level come off of back surgery and be productive. I can't think of one. Not one. If you guys know of one, hit me up at Jeff_Mans, because in my research and my looking, I don't know if one guy came back from back surgery to be an NFL, you know, quality, any kind of quality NFL running back. And now Jerick McKinnon's supposed to be a star, and he did very well last year. Cannot deny it. He definitely outproduced Latavius Murray. It makes me very nervous is all. But I have to understand that he's got the opportunity ahead of him. There's nobody else. They got Joe Williams and Matt Breida, but there's nothing there. And they 49ers aren't said to be interested in Terrence West or any of these other guys, you know, that we saw the Saints went out and snatched. They're just not interested. They're not going to bring in another veteran guy. And they gave McKinnon a sizable contract and some years on that contract. So he's going to be the guy early downs and third downs for Kyle Shanahan. And think of it in terms of this is the second year in Kyle Shanahan's system for the 49ers. They have Jimmy Garoppolo, who was unbelievable at the end of 2017. They get Pierre Garçon back finally. They got Joe Staley back finally. They went out and got Joe Staley, their left tackle. I always get Thomas and Staley mixed up. And Thomas retired from the Browns. But Staley's back and healthy now, manning that left side. They go get Mike McGlinchey in the first round from Notre Dame to be the right tackle. Man, you got a pretty decent offensive line here in San Francisco. They found their quarterback, and you got Kyle Shanahan's system in the second year. Go look at what's happened in Washington. Go look at what happened in Atlanta when Shanahan hit that second year. The offense took off. And in Atlanta, they had Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman splitting the deal back there. No such split. You're talking about pretty much 80% of the load, 75% at least of the load for Jerick McKinnon. I absolutely love it. Absolutely love Jerick McKinnon this year. He's a top 12 guy. He's an RB1 on my board. Nobody else seems to be on him either, at least yet. And right now, Jerick McKinnon's one of the reasons I want to play more NFL 10s and best balls. I really do. I want to go out there and I want to draft more and more and more because I want to get this guy at a value while I still can, because I'm telling you, folks, by the time everyone understands this and it's August, mid-August, and we're drafting in our home leagues, he's going to be a second-round pick. He's going to be a second-round pick easy. Right now he's a sixth-round pick. The value is just too great. So I love Jerick McKinnon out there in San Francisco as a result. Other offseason movements across the running back spectrum. LeGarrette Blount leaves Philadelphia. He goes to Detroit. Now remember, Detroit, Matt Patricia, it's the same offensive coordinator in Jim Bob Cooter, but you got Matt Patricia. All we're hearing about out of Detroit is they want to be able to run the football. They want to take the pressure off of Matt Stafford. They want to take the pressure off their defense. They're going to be a more balanced team than we've seen in the past. Yes, it's the same offensive coordinator, but under Matt Patricia's guidance, they're implementing much more of a running game than they've had any of the previous seasons, which may actually downgrade Matt Stafford a little bit on our boards. Might downgrade even Marvin Jones and Golden Tate in the receiving game, but one of these running backs, if not multiple, could possibly be productive here this year. And I look at it right now and it's a complete cluster F. I'm not in on any of these Detroit Lions running backs right now. Here's what I know. Amir Abdullah was a second round pick a few years ago, just hasn't stayed healthy. He's flashed at times, but he isn't there, right? Theo Riddick has been incredibly productive from a third down standpoint catching the football. Theo Riddick got a contract extension before last year. He's not going anywhere. Kerryon Johnson was drafted in the second round. They took him ahead of guys like Darius Geis and everything else. The kid from Auburn, who's 5'11", 215, just looks the part of an NFL running back. This regime takes him in the second round. That's a viable commitment on this new Lions coaching staff's table. Then they go out and get LeGarrette Blount, who Patricia is familiar with from his years in New England. Veteran guy. He's going to make the club. So that, and you still have, and then fantasy people always try to give Zach Zenner a shot, but that's never going to happen. Zach Zenner doesn't exist. He's cut. No question about it. He's gone. There's nothing there. My opinion, I think Amir Abdullah is going to be either traded or cut before week one. I think that's it. I think that's it for Amir Abdullah. He would have to have an unbelievable training camp to remain on this club. I really believe that. You don't draft a guy in the second round and bring in a free agent on top of your third down back already being there when you have any kind of faith in Amir Abdullah. Right now, I'm not touching any of the Lions running backs, none of them, including LeGarrette Blount. I think LeGarrette Blount has a chance to score 8 to 10 touchdowns. He does every year. But with all these other names, all these other pass catchers and everything else, I don't think that he's going to get enough touches to be a productive guy. I'm out on the Lions running backs. They'll clear some way here. Zenner's going to be out. Abdullah will likely be out. Then we'll have three, and we could parse that down from three. We could figure out roles and stuff later on. But as of June, early July, I ain't touching the backfield out there in Detroit. So no thank you. Other situations to talk about. Talk about Indianapolis for a minute. Indianapolis loses their starting running back from a year ago, Frank Gore. Okay, so he's now gone. Frank Gore's in Miami, which I'll talk about in a moment on how that works with Kenyon Drake and everything. But in Indianapolis, I'm intrigued. I love the Colts' offensive line additions this past year. I absolutely love what they've done. I think they've done it the right way. They're building, and they have Costanzo as a left tackle, Denzel Good on the right side. They also have Austin Howard, who's an interesting sort of project-type right tackle. But their tackles are pretty weak. Right? Costanzo's fine. I'm okay with him, but nothing big. The big thing there is they get Ryan Kelly, who, when Ryan Kelly was healthy last year with Jacoby Brissett under center, that was a whole new team. They were able to run the football. Frank Gore went up a yard and a half per carry with Ryan Kelly there. Jacoby Brissett's passer rating was up nearly 20%, and the amount of rushing yards for Jacoby Brissett was up when Ryan Kelly was there. They were a better team. Ryan Kelly's the center. He's, he's an all-pro center. He's one of the best centers in all the league. Now they went out and they drafted Quentin Nelson, who was one of the best picks of the entire 2018 NFL draft, to play left guard. They have Jack Muhort as their right guard right now, but they bring in Braden Smith, another guy that could play center, could play any one of the three interior lineman positions. And now they all of a sudden have depth, and they got real top-end guys like Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly, Smith, and Muhort to run behind. And Matt Slauson is another guy they bring in that could play swing tackle. It could play one of the guard positions as well. So they've got depth along the offensive line. That's going to be huge for keeping Andrew Luck healthy. It's going to be huge for the running backs, whoever it may be. Right now, top of the depth chart for the Colts is Marlon Mack. And we don't have to pay anything for Marlon Mack. Nothing at all. It's pretty wild that, his ADP is round 7 and 8 right now. And yet he's the starting running back of a team that greatly improved their offensive line and is going to, as I've been saying for a while, have their all-pro quarterback back in 2018 in Andrew Luck. So I love this setup. I like Marlon Mack a great deal, but watch out for Nyheim Hines and Jordan Wilkins. Jordan Wilkins got first team reps in minicamp. Now, Nyheim Hines, I like him a lot. He was a guy that made my top 10 running backs going into the draft. He's an NC State guy. I got to talk to a good friend of mine, Torrey Holt, former St. Louis Rams wide receiver, future Hall of Famer. We did broadcast together on Sirius XM. And Torrey is real tight with the NC State guys. And he says this kid's legit, great lateral quickness, real good hands out of the backfield. The thing with Hines, he plays bigger than he is. He's only about 5'8 and a half. He's 200. Some places have him listed under 200 pounds. So far, it looks like he's going to be the third down back. It seems like the Colts are kind of using Hines. I thought he was going to get a chance to be the feature guy. It doesn't seem that way right now which means Marlon Mack is even more secure at the top spot. And Jordan Wilkins, this kid that just kind of plugs along, Ole Miss guy, he's bigger, he's 6 foot tall, he's 215 pounds, again, looks the part of an NFL running back. He can catch the football in the backfield too, but Jordan Wilkins is a guy nobody talks about and is not even registering on any ADP right now. So there's going to be a breakout running back for the Indianapolis Colts this season in 2018. Right now, it's hard to differentiate who it's going to be. I think the best bet as far as the most sure thing is Marlon Mack. But if you're a betting guy and you're doing any prop bets, or if you want a real deep sleeper and you just want to invest just a single bullet, Jordan Wilkins in the last round of your draft right now, he could easily be a top 15 running back in fantasy football here in 2018. So, and then he's coming out of nowhere. So that was that. Now, I mentioned Frank Gore is gone. He's in Miami. I don't know why Miami signs him after the season that Kenyon Drake had after Jay Ajayi was traded, but that's what we got. They also went out and got Kalen Ballage played at Arizona State. I had an opportunity to see him quite a bit. He's a huge guy, massive. Looks like a linebacker with the football. So strange to me. It kind of tells me they're not just giving Kenyon Drake anything. He's going to have to work for it. It's very interesting to me after how productive he was this past year. Now, the Dolphins took hits along their offensive line this offseason too, and they went down quite a bit. So that's losing some interior linemen there makes me think, all right, there's going to be some regression in Kenyon Drake as far as what he did at the end of last season. I think everybody understands that. But now we also have Frank Gore and Kalen Ballage here where – Drew might take some carries. Fourth round pick for Ballage. Again, they took him over guys like we just mentioned with the Colts and Jordan Wilkins and Nyheim Hines and stuff like that. And then you got a veteran like Frank Gore who wants to play. Yeah, he's going to be a mentor, but Frank Gore's competitive and will play. So Kenyon Drake, draft him. I have him as the number one Dolphins running back. I have him as a low-end RB2. Going into 2018 here on my rankings over at GuruLeaf.com, but you still have to look at it as though he has something to prove, and he's going to have to prove it again in training camp this year before anything is handed over to him. As far as Frank Gore and Ballage, I'm not a buyer at this point. Gore, I've been waiting to break down for years. Yes, he keeps proving me wrong, but that doesn't mean I'm going to stop doing it. I never understood that. Same with Tom Brady. Like, the thing with Brady is everyone understands that he will fall off, right? It's going to happen. I can't believe people watched the demise of Peyton Manning, who went from greatest quarterback to, Brock Osweiler almost beating him out for his job after he got injured. Like, that's the same is going to happen. It's happened to everybody. Happened to Montana and Kansas City. It happened to Steve Young in San Francisco. It happens to all the greats, and it'll eventually happen to Brady, too. And Frank Gore, but with running backs, quarterbacks, I'll be fine because the replacement values there. You can always replace a quarterback. I'm never going to be. I will always be a year early on fading a running back as opposed to a year late. That's just my mentality. Always has been. Isaiah Crowell goes where else but the Jets. Good luck with anything New York. That's a disaster and a disgrace. I hate that situation so much. And good luck and Godspeed, Isaiah Crowell. Broncos cut C.J. Anderson. He goes to Carolina, going to share the backfield with Christian McCaffrey. I don't know. I'm not a McCaffrey guy. I'm not a C.J. Anderson guy. I like C.J. Anderson a couple years ago in Denver, and he burned me. He could be productive. He could cut into CMC's production a little bit, especially, CMC didn't get in the end zone, then got into it late in the year a couple times. I don't like either one of these running backs, especially because Cam Newton is going to run the ball an awful lot as well. I love North Turner running backs normally. He's the new offensive coordinator in Carolina. So there's something to that. I've always believed in North Turner running backs, but this is one I will take a shot on C.J. Anderson as an RB, low-end RB3, RB4. I could handle that. But if anybody else is going to take a chance in my leagues earlier and try to draft him up, I'm not in on that. Doug Martin to the Raiders, nah, brah. Not interested in Doug Martin. Although I'll say this, the Raiders signing Doug Martin in order to get younger at running back. That tells you what the Raiders are doing. Old running backs, John Gruden, never change. Don't know what you're trying to build there, but good luck with it, because young, your old running backs, that doesn't work out. It never works out. Never does, never has, never will. It's a terrible idea, and I hate the very thought of it. All right, folks, those are the ones, basically. If there are other running back situations you want me to discuss with you, more than happy to do so. Just hit me up on Twitter, at Jeff_Manns, the Jeff Manns, on other social media outlets. GuruElite.com is where you go. All our fantasy football content is absolutely free for the time being. We are building our draft guide and all our in-season stuff, the chat rooms and everything going up very, very soon. And we'll have some early bird pricing out there for you guys in the very near future as well. That's all the running backs that I'll talk about today. We'll come back later on the week. We'll get to some wide receivers and some tight ends and round up all this news that we have at our disposal after all the mini camps are once again completed. If you guys are listening to this on a Thursday or a Friday, I will not be on Sirius XM Radio on Friday. I'll be back, though, on Monday. Ray Flowers will be filling in for me on the Sirius XM show on that day. In the meantime, remember, check out our partners over at draft.com/guruelite. They have best ball leagues forming right now. Ted Schuster told me he did one from the toilet the other day. Took him only 10 minutes. They have slow drafts or they have insta drafts. You can do whichever you like. Do you want a quick one? Boom, you can pound it out while you're taking a deuce, or you can do it over time. Draft.com/guruelite, or if you have draft app, the draft app, just use the promo code GuruElite, 100% deposit bonus, boom, and you guys get to draft against us and see exactly what we're doing. If you just want to track what our successes are we putting our money where our mouth is? Are we talking up players that we're investing in? Folks, it's all, you know, draft.com is very cool about that, that they point you in the right direction of the rest of the elite mafia when you sign up with our promo code. So go over there and do that. All right, folks. I am Jeff Manns for Guru Elite. Till next time, have a wonderful, wonderful week, and we'll be back talking wide receivers next time. See you later, everybody.